The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Samechtet. Today's daf is being studied in the Shmat of Ram Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenehenu Ben Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in the Fuash Shel Imam Yosef Ben Sarah and Rahmim Ben Adel and Sarah Bat Rachel. Inna Lefanu Lehem B'Toch Sharach Olei Amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Victor Gindi, Hashem Yishmeru V'Hayehu, for continued Hatzlacha in all his endeavors, continued success, Bri'ut, health, happiness, and all good things. Amen.
We begin today's daf on Samech Tet Amud Rishon, and we are on the top line. We learned earlier a law of Rabbi, that he came along and said that when it comes to collecting the Nidunya, the girl is able to even go to Mishabedeh. She's even able to collect from fields that the Yitomim sold. She can go along, take them out of the likuhot, take them out of the buyer's hands, and take them for her nidunya. So comes the Gemara now and gives a story. Tala le Rav le Rabbi benechite. Oh, so Rav wrote a letter to the B. A letter, get it, Shilomim, they call it. And in between the lines, he wrote a question. So Tala le Rav le Rabbi Benehite. Between the lines of the letter, he posed a she'ela. What was the she'ela? He said like this, Ha'ahim shishabedu. But those are two words he put in his letter. And what was the implicit question over here? That the brothers that inherited from their father, mahu, which means there's a shabu now on the nechasim, so they wanted to know, can she go now take this karka that was given to the sons? Now we don't know exactly what the question is here exactly. Of course, she could take nidunya. The Yitumim owe the nidunya to their sister. So the Gemara is going to analyze exactly what the she'ela was. But that's what he was writing a letter to the B. In the middle of the letter, he wrote the ha'im she'arbedu. Mahu, what's the law? Can the Yitumah take the money? Havayativ Rabbi Haya kame. So Rabbi Haya was sitting in front of Rabbi Amar Le. So Rabbi Haya tells Rabbi, what does this mean over here? What's the nature of this question? Machru or Mishkinu? Was this question that they sold the property? So the question is, was she sold, were the Yitum sold, I mean, can the Yitum now come along and take it out of the Likuchot? Or is this question where they just mortgaged the property? We're still in really the possession of the Yitumim, they just mortgaged it. Which means he's asking the B, to what extent was this Rabbi Rav asking the She'elah? Was it the Machru or Miskinu? So comes the Rabbi and comes along and says, Amaleh Ma'inaf Kamina. He says, what's the difference? Ben Machru, Ben Shemishkinu, Motsi'im Le Panasah, Ben Motsi'im Le Mezonot. There's no difference. Whether they sold the property, whether it's mortgaged, the gabe mizonot cannot take from either properties. The gabe parnasa and the dunya, you could take, even if it was sold, they can go take it out of the kuhot. Oh, comes the Gemara and says, Virav, im machru kame ba'yele, nichtovle. Machru. Im mishkinu kame ba'yele, nichtovle, mishkinu. Which means, Rav, why were you so vague? In the letter that you wrote, you should have asked your question. You should have said, Makhru Mahadin, or you should have said, Mishkinu Mahadin. Why do you just write, Shi'abud? You put a pav language over there. Ask your question, which means, what were you asking? Did you want to know selling, or did you want to know mortgaging? Which you said, why weren't you explicit, Rav, in your question? So the Gemara is going to answer, there was a reason why it wasn't explicit, because if he would be explicit on one case, the answer that Rabbi would give would not answer the other case. He would only know the answer in the case that's being given to him, but he would not be able to imply the answer in the other case. The Gemara speaks it out. Rav Tarvayu kame ba'yele. You know, Rav really was asking both questions, Mishkenu and Machru. V'savar, ikativna le Machru. if I'm going to write specifically, if the Yitumim sold it, ha-ni-ha, if he sends me back, ishalach-li demotzi'in, if he tells me, you can even take it out from the kohot that was sold, kol shekin, mishkinu, then I'll know my answer by mishkinu as well. Because if the properties were sold, the Yitumah could take it back, kol shekin, when it's only mortgaged. However, isha lachli en motziim. But if he's going to send me back that if it was sold, the Yitumah cannot take it. Akati mishkenu kamebayali. I'm not going to know my answer for mishkenu, because just I could argue and say, well, just because it was sold, maybe you cannot take it. But maybe mishkenu, she can't take it. So therefore, I'm not going to know the answer to that question. Now go the other way. Ikativna le mishkenu. If I'm going to just write the question mishkenu. Now isha lachli de en motziim. If you tell me that even if it's mishkenu, where it's mortgage, we're still in the property, in the possession of the yitumim, and still you tell me what? The yitumah cannot take it. Well, kol sheken machru, or the mosul machru, where it's out of the possession, certainly that she's not going to be able to go take it from the lekuchot. Ishalach li motziin, however, if he's going to answer me that by mishkenu, she can go after it. Akati machru kamibayri. I'm not going to know the answer of machru, because I can say mishkenu, yeah, but maybe machru. No. So therefore, ichtov le shi'bedu. So I'm going to write a Pav language. Shabedu, where there's liens on it, so to speak. And therefore, de mashma haki, which is mashma both. So he phrased it in the vague way to include both. And obviously, Rabbi understood the tensions. So he came along and said, no nafka minah, ben mishkenu, ben machru, the Yitumah can go and take it from the likuhot, and certainly can take it from the, if there was only a mortgage on it, when it's still the possession of the Yitumim. Comes the Gemara and says, V'Rabbi Yohanan amar, ehadze en motzi'in. Rabbi Yohanan said, no sir, whether it was sold, and even if it was only mortgaged, the Yitumah cannot take for her nidunya from property that has mortgage on it. So comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yohanan. So I had a question like a bit of Yohanan. Lo shami ale had Rabbi. Well, is it the reason why he argues is because he didn't hear Rabbi's statement that just said it's okay? The ishami ale avi mekabele. And if he would have heard, let's say, Rabbi's statement, he would have maybe accepted it. Or dilma shami ale velo mekabele. Or maybe no, maybe he knew Rabbi's statement and still he was arguing. Like, we want to know exactly the nature of the smile. Look at over it, which is because he didn't know what Rabbi was saying. And therefore, if he would have heard the B, he would have said, yeah, I agree with you. Or is it even if he heard what the B was saying, he would have argued. So the Gemara says, Tashema. We have a brighter. The Itman, actually, we have a statement of Amoraim. Mi shemet vini yachste banot uben. Okay, guy died. He left two daughters and a son. Vekadma rishona. Okay, so the first girl got married. So she takes 10% of the assets according to the halakha, no problem. Velo spika sheni aligbot, which means before the second girl was able to get married to take her 10%, ad shemet haben. Oh, now it happened. The son died. Now let's analyze this. Now, once the son dies, he's out of the yirusha. Now all the money goes to the two girls. They yoresh. Correct. When there's a son, all the money goes to the son. Okay, but now that there's no son, so therefore they're going to get all the assets divided equally. Amar Rabbi Yohanan Shiniya Vitra. Rabbi Yohanan says a big kaddush. The second woman, she gets married, she doesn't get 10% of the assets. Why? We just gave you the whole pot. Which means, once already the brother died, so split up the assets of your father equally. Father's not around anymore. Right? So now the brother's not around, so the money goes to equally. So therefore you lose your which is, you might have argued and said, no. Give out 10% first, and then whatever's left over of that, divide equally. You didn't say that, Rabbi Yohanan. Vitra. Off the bat, whatever's there, you just divide it 50-50 amongst the two girls. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Hanina. So Rabbi Hanina comes along and says, what are you talking about, Rabbi Yohanan? How could you tell me that she's going to lose her 10%? How could you tell me that? Why? Gedola mizu amru. The rabbis, they even said further than the case that you're saying over here. That what? Motziin le parnasa ve'en motziin le mezonot ve'at amar shniya vitra, which means they went so far to say, the rabbis, which is really the B, that even if the Yitomim sold land, she can go and claim it. Kol sheken, stuff that's in her possession, certainly she has a rights to the isur. Which is, if you're going to let the Yitomah go now to the lekuhot, out of the possession of the Yatumim, they sold the property already. And you're going to tell me what? She can go there and take the money. It's in her property. It's in her possession already. What, are you going to tell me if it's, she loses it? I mean, it doesn't make sense. If she can go take it from outside, from the Kohot, certainly she should be able to take her 10% first when it's hers. Which is, why are you telling me Vitra? Why are you telling me she loses it? This is the claim of Haninat against the Yohanan. So the Yohanan comes up. Oh, now the Gemara finishes his proof. If Rabbi Yohanan never heard the Shita of Rabbi, he should have said, hey, I never heard that. Who said that? Ela must be, he was familiar with the opinion of Rabbi. And what? He didn't accept it. Because when they asked him this question, he said, hey, what are you talking about? The rabbi said, already you could take from the Kohot. Rabbi Yohanan, if he didn't know that Shita, he should have said, hey, well, I never heard that. Who made that statement? Ela must be what? He knew the statement, and still he disregarded it. Gemara says, no. V'dilma le'olam lo shami'aleh. I could argue and say, you know what? Maybe really Rabbi Yohanan never heard the Shita of Rabbi. V'chi shami'aleh kabil. And you know what? Had he heard it, and when he heard it, he would have accepted it. And therefore what? He would say that the Yetomah, like Rabbi Yohanan said, Echadzeh v'chadzeh en motzi'in, which means you're not allowed to take it from the collateral, or you cannot take it from the kuchot. Which means maybe Rabbi would be modeh. Or if he was modeh, so then how are you going to explain his case over here where he said, the case where the Yetomah died, if the father died, and one of them got married, and then you said the second one, they split it equally. She loses her 10%. Why should she lose her 10%? The Chavra, if you're agreeing with Rabbi, so the Chavra, if you can take it from the Kohot, certainly what's hers already, she should be able to keep. So the Gemara says, Beshani hatam di'ika revach beta. It's different. She don't need it. Because she has, what's the whole reason why you're giving her the Nidunya? You're giving her the Nidunya because she needs Panasa. Here you just inherited half the assets. So in the case where you inherit half the assets, of course we'll tell you what. You don't get the 10%. Which means I can make a haluk between the cases. I can see, you know, when the Rabbi and the Rabbi Yohanan will come along and say, you don't go after the Kohot. When you go after the Kohot, because he's going to agree to the Rabbi. When you go after the Kohot, she needs it. She needs the money, which means she's getting married now. She has no money. Okay, but I go after the Kohot, and it's yours. It's coming to you. Oh, but in this case over here, Rabbi Yohanan said, hey, listen, you're getting anyway half the estate. The brother died. There's only two girls here. So she got a 10% already, okay, because she got married before the brother died. So she got a 10%. Now that the other brother died, the first only brother died, split it up. So Rabbi Yohanan could agree with Rabbi that you go after the kuchot, but at the same time, in this case over here, where she's making a nice revach, you don't give it an extra 10%. Uh-huh. Give us, oh yeah, according to that logic, which basically is a logic, if she has money, she doesn't get the 10%. Amar le Rav Yemal Rav Asher el me'ata. She found a windfall. She found, you know, $1 million on the street. She has money now. You want to tell me she loses her Isur Nechassim because she has money? That's basically a rule. I don't mean windfall profit. I meant that she's making a profit from these assets themselves. Which is right. We're not going to come along now and say if she got money from somewhere else and she loses her Yisur Nechassim. But if the same Nechassim she's end up getting in the Yerusha, so therefore she can lose her Yisur Nechassim items. Therefore, Rabbi Yohanan can agree to the B. If he would have heard of the B, the Gemara wants to say he would have retracted. He's not arguing the B. Elawat, in this case, it is different because already she has Panaza from the assets themselves because she inherited the money. Where were they taking the 10% from this money? You got the money already. She found the Mitziah? No, not talking about the Mitziah. That's already far-fetched. She found the Mitziah. We're not taking away Yisur Nechassim. That's already, they're not going to take an against on that. Good. New case. Amar Amemor. Amemor comes along and says, Bat Yoreshet Havya. Oh. The daughter that takes this 10%, how do we look at it? So right away, Amemor is telling you it's an inheritance, which means it comes to her mita'am yirusha. Now, what's enough coming up? It comes to mita'am yirusha. So all the laws of yirusha are going to apply. For example, Amar le Rav Asher Amemor, ilu ba'el lesaluka bezuzeh, hachaname delo matzeh lesaluka. You mean to tell me they can't buy her out for her share? which means, let's say the brothers come along, and she has a Yerushana, so she has 10% of these assets. Could the brothers come along and say, listen, we don't want to give you these fields over here. The fields are worth, or the assets are worth, what, $1 million? Here's $1 million, get out of here. Now, if it's Yerusha, you can't do that. She can come along and say, I don't want the keshet. I want, I have a stake in all these properties over here. So the Gemara says, when you say it's a Yerusha, you mean that the brothers can't come along and give her zuzeh, money, lesaleka, to oust her from the thing, from the estate? Amar Lehin. He says, yeah, exactly. That's what it means. It's Yerusha. They cannot pay her out. So the Gemara goes further. What about giving her from the estate, but they say, you know what, 10%, take this field over here. Now really, if it's a Yerusha, they can't force her to take this field over here. She could have 10% in every single field. You can't just take us and we want to keep everything else. We'll give you from the estate, but you just take one of the big fields over there. You tell me, is it considered a Yerusha? They won't be able to do that? Amar Le'in? Yeah, 100%. They cannot do that tonight either. Which means she has rights to every field. They cannot just force her to take a certain field for her payment. Good. Rav Asher argues. Rav Asher Amar, Bat Ba'alat Chov Havya. Which means this Isun Nechassin that the rabbis made a Takana, it's a Chov. Which means we owe you the money. It's not a Yerusha. Oh, once it's not a Yerusha, so that's a little more flexible. I mean, the brothers have advantages now. Not what? That they can come along and say, we owe you the money. You can't come along and say, well, I want 10% of these assets. These assets are not yours, by the way. We owe you this money. We'll pay you however we want to pay you. We're going to pay you money and we'll take that field, and she doesn't have any claims. So there's a tremendous nafka mina in the... how you look at it? Is it a Yerusha or is it a malchov? Is it a debt? So comes the Gemara and says, Ve'af amemor hadarbe. Oh, Amemor eventually retracted to agree like Rav Asher that it is a chov. How do you know that? Story. I was in front of Amemor. A certain lady came in front of the betin of Amemor. She came along and said, hey, listen, I want the 10% for the Nidunya. Right? And I noticed the rabbi, meaning Amemor, he said like this, he was going to allow that if the brothers would want to just pay her off with money, which means, he asked, he says, if the brothers would pay you off with money, would you accept such a thing? Because he heard the brothers actually give that option. Where they said, if we would have had money, we would have paid her off. And he was there. He was there. He didn't say anything to the brothers. Which means he was in the betin. The brothers came in, and the rabbi is sitting there, and the brothers are talking amongst themselves. He said, why? Well, if we had money, we'd just pay her off and get rid of this debt. The rabbi was sitting right there, and he didn't argue. He said, hey, listen, fellas, you can't do that. He didn't say it, so much about what? He agrees that you can say, that VC must have retracted from his fact that he was silent when they gave that option in the Beit Din. Oh, so now the Kabbalah says, now that you tell me it's a dead, the Abba or the Ahe? Whose debt is it? Is it the debt of the father, the deceased father, or is it the debt of the brothers? That's enough coming now. So the Gemara says, "Am I enough coming now?" What's really the difference? So the Gemara says, "Lemigbal lebenonit shelo b'shpu'a v'ziborit b'shpu'a." Okay, now you know there's different type of fields. There's a mediocre type of field. We call that a benonit. The worst type of field, the most inferior type, is called ziborit. So the Gemara says, "There'll be enough coming now that if she wants benonit fields, she can take it, but out of shvu'a." Or if she wants ziborit fields, mishbu'a, which means like this. It's two different options. And the Gemara says like this. If you want to say it's the baal chov of the father, I mean the father owes the money, so therefore, you're going to go to the yetumim now, they can come along and say, hey, listen, this is not our debt. This is the debt of our father. You want to get paid over here? We're going to pay you off in ziborit. We'll pay you off on the cheap property. That's the law. And also, you only get ziborit bishbu'a. You have to make a shivua. That's why you didn't get paid yet. No. And therefore, again, if you're telling me it's not the yitomim's debt, it's the advantage yitomim. So they come along, hey, listen, I want my esu nechasim. You owe it to me. Yitzurim said, we don't owe you anything. This was already a debt that we inherited from our father. And therefore, you want to get paid? First of all, swear that you didn't get paid yet. And number two, we're only giving you Ziburit. Mm. However, if you're going to come along and say it's the Baal Chov of the brothers, so they obligated themselves. And therefore, she can get Benunit even without a Shivua. So to her advantage. If it's the brothers, she can come along and say, listen, you owe me the money. You owe me the money. You can't get Edith, you can't get the best property, but you can get at least Benunit, and they owe it to you. You shouldn't have to even swear. So there's a tremendous nafkamina in two nafkaminot here. Swearing, and also quality. Right? So comes the Gemara and says, my, what's the deen? So you don't want to solve it from a story. Hashema, from an episode. What was the episode? The Ravina Agbe Liberate de Rav Asher. Ravina collected for the daughter of Rav Asher. She was Rav Asher died. Okay? So Ravina went to the Yorshim to get 10% for the Nidunya. Mimor bere de Rav Asher. Mor bere de Rav Asher was the one that was giving out the. He was the boy. Benunit. Oh, so what does that show you? Belongs to the brothers. He took Benunit, Shelo Bishvua. So the debt belongs to who? The brothers. Now, Rav Sama, Rav Asher. And he went to the son of Rav Sama, who was the son of Rav Asher. He took Ziburit Bishvua. He took Ziburit with a Shivua. Yeah. Now, what does that show you over here? Well, from the first two over here, you see that he took Benunit Shelo Bishvua from the son. That already clearly you see that the chov is on the children. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, from the fact that Benosh Rav Samai took Kaka Ziburit, because right, that was not the son. Who passed away? Rav Asher. That was the grandson. Mm-hmm. So it's not his chov, which means Rav Asher died. He went to Rav Sama Bered the Rav. It's the nephew, exactly. Exactly. It's the nephew of the seed. Rav Sama is the son of Rav Asher. Okay? So look at Ashi. I'm sorry, just to get that family situation. Ashi Dibura Matheel. Well, look at Rashi. Yeah, look at Rav Asher. You see, it's actually we'll read the whole Rashi. L'migbab benunit v'shlo b'shvua. It's right in the middle of the dafta. That's enough coming out, right? I balat chov de abahavya. If you tell me the bal chov is for the father, ena gova ena min ziburit. Yoli yetumim. Listen, it's not our debt. It's our father that we're giving you ziburit. Ven lefal el b'shvua shelo natla min nechasim alalu klum. She has to make a swear that she didn't get paid yet. The kaim alan the mesechet gittin en nifra'in min nechasim yetumim ena min ziburit ven nifra'in min ela b'shvua. V'i ba'alat chov shelahem. But if the chov is on the yetumim themselves, en kan ba'li para min nechasim yetumim, and therefore it's the, you're coming to get from their property, therefore you had benunit without a shivua. Okay. Good. Rav Asher met. Okay, so Rav Asher died. Umet Rav Sama beno behayav. So Rav Sama, his son, also died. Ushebat bito lipara. Now when the daughter of Rav Asher came to get her isur at 10%, natlam mechilko shilmol bar Rav Asher shayakayam benunit. Well, mor bar Rav Asher, one of the sons of Rav Asher was still alive. So she went and she got, the rabbi took out the benunit. Shelo b'shvua, alma ba'alat chov de'atavya, which means must be the ba'al chov of the yetomim. Continue, umibered Rav Sama ziburit, but from the son of Rav Sama ziburit, if he's ba'alat chov shel abiv ha'ita, she'aya ahiya, which means they went to the grandson of Rav Asher, and the grandson is not obligated to give, it's not his debt, it's his father's debt to his sister. So therefore, you see clearly the halakha is what? The chov is on the yetomim. Good? Uh-huh. See, when it came to the son, it's on you, the debt. Son, I'm taking benonit, no shivua. When he, now, there was nobody left. Now he went to Rav Sama's son, so he came along, or Rav Sama was the grandson, and they came along and said, listen, I'm not obligated, it's not my debt, it was my father's debt. My father owed the money to my aunt. So therefore, he came along to him and said, listen, Ziburit Bishbu'a. So it follows the pattern. Beautiful. One more line. Shalach le Rav Nechamya Bered Rav Yosef le Rabba Bar Rav Huna Zuta Min Hadda'a Ki Atya Ha Iteta Likamach. When a lady comes along to collect her nidunya, she comes to you. Agbar Isur Nechasim Afilu Me'istubla. Which means, even take the money that's coming to Frenidunya, even from the base where they put the millstone, which means that's considered karka, that's considered like it's real estate. Rashi, ki atya it hahi iteta isha achat bat tefnei Rabbi Nechamya. She came in front of Rabbi Nechamya. Shaya la litod esu nechasim bimkomo shelaba baravuna. She wanted the rabbi to help her, you know, collect her money, you know, to be an advocate for her. Okay. So he said, "Istublam Moshav Amata Lehayim Kemotchen Umikarkeya Hashivdu," which means we said the law is what she could take from karka. So therefore, this is considered karka. I guess it's a heavy item that's sitting on the ground. You can go take it from the karka. Okay. So comes the Gemara and says, "Amar of Ashek, Yavinim Beit Avkana, Yavinim Beit Midrash of Avkana, Havam Magbinin Afilu Me'amla Debete." They would take it even from, let's say, rent, which means from the rent payments that were given to the Yorshim for houses that fell in the Yerusha. That's considered like karka. Not only could she take from the karka itself, but the rent that the Yitomim are getting from this karka is considered like karka as well. Rashi, me'amla debeti, sechirut abatim, me'mekarkai kate. And therefore, she gets it as well. So therefore, it comes out according to this over here, the issue is, you can only get from karka, according to this understanding. Yeah. And the Hadush is saying, not everything, karka is not limited to the ground itself. Karka can even mean something that's attached to the ground, like a heavy item like this base of the stone, or even the money that's collected for the rent on karka, she can get that money as well.
Continues. Shalach le Rav Asher. Actually, shalach le Rav Anan le Rav Huna. So Rav Anan sends a message to Rav Huna, and he refers to him as follows: Huna Havrin Shelam. Huna, my friend, peace be unto you. When this lady is going to come in front of you, make sure you give her 10% of the assets. It seems she was a yetomah, she wants a nidunya. So make sure you give her the 10% of the assets for her nidunya. So Rav Sheshat was sitting in front of Rav Huna when this message came to him. So Rav Sheshat says, go tell Rav Anan, and tell him that he should be placed, or somebody should be placed in Hirim, man de lo amar le, the one that's not going to give him the following message. Rav Sheshat now is angry at Rav Anan. He says, listen, you go and tell him in my name, and if whoever doesn't go tell him what I'm saying is going to be put in Hirim if you don't deliver this message. And what's the message to go tell Rav Anan? Tell him like this, Anan, Anan. Just like he referred to Huna, he didn't call Rav Huna. He said, Huna Havrin, Huna, my friend. So you go back, Rav Sheshat says, you go tell Rav Anan the way I'm telling it to you. Tell him, Anan, Anan. Ask him the following question. When you said, take the dunya from 10% of the assets, is it only from real estate, or can he even take it from movables? Ask him that question. Uman yativ be marzeha beresha. And ask him the second question. At the Bet Avel, when the mourners are sitting, Be Marzeha is a mourner's house, who sits in the front? Which means it seems there was a certain protocol that the mourners at the time of the Sa'uda, they used to sit in certain formations. So ask them, who sits at the head of the table at the house of the house of the Avil? Because those were the questions he told them. Let's read Rashi. Anan ubeshamata teye im lo tomar belashon hazeh. Right, you'll be in shamata if you don't say over to him like this. Anan anan nehechan ata omer lagbota. Where are you saying to take the 10% from? Mekarkei? Or afilu memetaltele ve'od shema acheret hashibin. And tell him to answer me a second question. Man yativ ben marziha beresha. Mi mesev bebet avel berosh kiruin. Who sits at the bet avel, the head of the table? Kishayu mesuvim b'seudah. Hayanikar misibatan. It was evident where they sat. It was a certain seats. Miu arosh gadol mesib b'mita achat l'rosh shulchan. The sheni lo b'mita achayret l'mita matayimen. Which is, they used to sit. The gadol would sit at the, in the, you know, at the head of the couch, we'll say, and then the next guy would sit next to him. So he was asking, what's the protocol in this case? So that's what happened. So comes the Gemara and says, Azal Rav Sheshat lekamed Rav Anan. So Rav Sheshat goes in front of Rav Anan, and he says like this: Amar le mor Rava veRavuna Rabed Rabba. He asks for forgiveness first. He says, "Listen, Rabbi Rav Anan, you're my Rabbi, Rabba. You're my Rabbi. However, Ravuna is Rabed Rabba. He's like my Rabbi's Rabbi." Which means that Rav Huna is greater than both of us. So therefore, you know, even though I'm respecting you as my rabbi, but, you know, Rav Huna is on top of both of us. So therefore, forgive me. V'shemute shemit. And Rav Huna put a herem man velo amarle. If I don't come and tell you this message. So it seems it was Rav Huna that said it. Rav Huna, he's calling me Huna? Yeah, you go tell him, so on and so forth. I'm only coming to you, Rav Sheshat says, because he said the one that doesn't come and give him the message is going to be put in Harem. V'ilav de shamit. And if it wasn't that he would put me in Harem, lo avakamina, I would not have said this. Anan, anan. Mimekar'e o metaltele. You take it from the karka, you take it from the metaltele. Uman yati ben marziha beresha. And who sits in the ben marziha in the front? So he fulfilled his job. Azal Rav Anan nekamed de Mor Ogba. So Rav Anan goes in front of Mor Ogba. Amar le, hazi mor, hechi shalach li Rav Huna. Listen to the message that Rav Huna sent me. Anan, Anan. First of all, he calls me Anan. He doesn't call me Rav Anan. Ve'od, marzeha de shalach li. He asked me some question about a marzeha. Ve'lo yadana mayniyu. I don't know what a marzeha is. I don't even know what the word means. So Amar le, so Mor Ogba says, emali izi. Izi is my friend, my beloved one. Tell me, Gufad de Uvda Hechi Hava. Tell me the background of the story. What happened that he's sending you a message back? Tell me the beginning of the story. What was the original story? Tehilat Devarim, Rashi says. Amar le, Hachi v'Hachi Hava Ma'aseh. This is what happened. I sent the message to Huna. I called him Huna Havrin. It seems he got upset. He sent Rav Sheshat back to me, calling me Anan Anan. Amar le, Gavra de lo yada mayni hu marzeha shalach le Rav Huna Huna Havrin. The one that doesn't know the interpretation of a simple word like marzeha, you dare to call Rav Huna Huna, which means you're wrong. Which means how do you call Rav Huna? Now I understand why he got angry at you. You don't even understand the simple word marzeha, and now you're going to call him Huna. So Kazi Gavran says, "My marzeha. Well, what is marzeha?" Gemara says avil. That's another word for an avil. So bet marzeha would be bet avil. Tichtiv ko amar Hashem al tavo bet marzach. This pasuk over here is from the prophecies of Yirmiyahu. They were talking about over there that there's going to be so much avilim that people are not going to be able to go to bet avil to visit because they're going to be so preoccupied with their troubles that there's not going to be people time to visit anybody. But you see, the word bet marzach is what a bet avil. Amar babu minayin la avil shemesim berosh. How do we know that the avil, he sits at the head? Shene emar, because we have a pasuk. The pasuk is in Iyov. Pasuk's language is like this: Evachar darkam, I will choose their ways. The eshev rosh, I will sit at the head. The eshkon kemelech begidur, I will be like a king at the head of the troops. Kaasher avelim yenahem. Like mourners that are consoled. Now it sounds like from this pasuk that we're talking about not the mourners, but we're talking about the consolers, because it says like the consolers, like the consolers of the avelim. Now we're not asking that the consolers sit in the rosh. The comforter is the one that are giving the comfort. We want to know how do the avelim, how do we know the avelim sit at the head? So the Gemara says, "Amar v'bo minayin la'avil shemesev rosh, amar b'chadar kam v'shev rosh v'shkol kemelech begedut kasher avelim yinachem." So the Gemara says, "Yinachem acharim mashma." What are you talking? Yinachem is mashma. It's talking about others, not the avil. It's talking about the ones that are consoling the mourners. And we're asking about the mourners. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Yinuham Ketiv, which is, it's written without Nikudot. And therefore, you can read it Yinahem, which is referring to consolers, or Yinuham, the ones that are getting consoled. Mm. And therefore, that's referring to the what? The mourners. So therefore, what's the Pasuk saying? They sit at the head, which, you know, they sit now to the Sauda on the couch. It seems they get the primary spot. Good. So it's talking about the mourner himself. As she says, you know, Ham Ketiv, in the Chalomar Patach Bishum Ot, Elaim Ken Aleph, or Hesemuchin Lo, or Apia Nikodash Tahtea, Vibam Kom Ot, Kilu Katuv, Yena Ahem. וכיוון שלא כתיב כאן א', על כורחך, על פי מסורת הכתוב, אתה קורא ינוחם. וזה המנוחם עצמו, כלומר, כאבל למנחם. She's giving us this, the grammar, exactly how we're able to switch around from ינחם to ינוחם. Comes the Gemara and says further. אמר רב נחמן בר יצחק, ינוחם כתיב. מורזוטרא אמר, מורזוטרא גם שם a different proof. ושר מרזח סירוחים. Mar vizach naase sar lisruhin. Okay, where's this pasuk? This pasuk is in Amos. So what's the simple pasuk saying over here? Vesar, sar means it'll be removed. Marzach siruhin. Marzach siruhin is literally the bazaar. We know it's bet avil. And siruhin is like sarua, is something that is like spoiled or something like that. But the Gemara is being doresh. Mar vizach. What is mar? The bitter and the zahra. She says, Mishin of Shomara, somebody whose spirit is bitter, the dato zaha umorteket ma'alav, and his spirit is removed from him, which means he's besides himself. He's not in the right frame of mind. Mar vezach, one day what's going to happen? Naase sar lesiruhim. What does that mean? Ashi ligedulim. Habaim ninahamo. Meaning, he's going to be on the top. When is he going to be on the top? When the mourners are sitting and the consolers come to visit them, they're on the top. So therefore when it says Naase Sar, Sar to what? To the consolers. And then what do you see over here? That the mourners sit at the top. Amar Abba, Rabba concludes this piece. Hilcheta mimikara'e velo mimitaltele. Bottom line, the halakha is when it comes to the 10% of the nidunya, and when it comes to the mezonot. Mezonot is the money that the father commits to pay the yetomim. Right, for their sustenance, and of course the payment of the ketubah, ben le mezone, ben le ketubah, ben le parnasa, whether it's from karka, whether it's from metata, that's really the halakha, which means all these three payments, mezonot, nedunya, and ketubah, the yetomim can get paid whether they want to get from karka or they want to get from metaltelin. Comes the next mishnah and says, forgive me, memekarkei velo memetatin, from karka and not metatin, as the Gemara clearly says, not like the B, just from karka, exactly like we learned earlier, just from karka. Mishnah, hamashlish ma'ot gebito. Good. A father is sending through a third party money to his daughter. For example, let's say he's sending her a field or a nedunya or something like that. But he's not sending it directly to the yetomim. He's sending it, let's say, to a third party. He's in trust. He's in charge of it, and he's going to give it over to the girl. And he's holding on to it, and the father tells the guy, "Listen, you're in charge of, let's say, buying my daughter this field, you know, for the nedunya." So I'm meshlish ma'ot libito, v'omeret, and she comes along and says, "Ne'eman ba'ali alai." She says, "You know what? Just give the money to my husband. I trust my husband. He'll buy the field, and you know, he'll fulfill the condition that my father made." Now she says, "Hamashlish ma'ot lebito, masar ma'ot biyad shalish lesorik bito, liknot sadeh o nedunya lechtenase." Vi omeret tachashenaseh. If she gets married, she says, "Ne'eman ba'li alai shelo ya'akimim na'atzmo chinam." I'm not worried that my husband's going to keep the money himself. Which means I trust him. When I want the field, I trust that my husband is going to buy him. So what's the Mishnah say? The shalish has to do what he was told to do. That she says, you can't give it to the husband. The father didn't say give it to the husband. The father said, go buy this field for my daughter. That she's coming on and says, I trust my husband. The shalish must execute it himself, because we have a law that says mitzvah lekayem devrei amit. Devrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, V'chi ena ela sadeh. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about that the shalish is going to take the money and buy a field. Let's say she would want to sell that field. She has the rights to sell. She's a gedola. So therefore, since she has rights to sell it, which is, what do we tell the shalish to buy anyway? He's going to take the money. He's going to buy a field. Doesn't she have rights into her field if she wants to sell it? So just like she has rights, she doesn't have rights to take the money, but once the guy's buying the field, the shalish, it's her field. Therefore she has rights to sell it. So just like she had rights to sell it, she should have rights to say, give it to the husband and I trust him. Nashi. V'chi ena ela sadeh, v'chi ma to'elet lo liknot, afilu en kan ma'ot ela kvar nikneh sadeh. Let's say the field was bought already. There was no money, let's say. V'rotza lemukhra, harei mukhra, helka shav'in la. Which means, even if there wasn't money over here, let's say the field was bought already, she could still say what? Sell it, it's my field. So just like she could say, sell it, she could say, give it over to the husband, and he'll take care of it. That's the Yosef's contention. That's obviously only talking about when she's an adult where her sale is considered a sale. But if she's a ketana, the transaction of a ketana is a zero. And then we'll wait for the Gemara for us to explain this exactly who's it going on. Is it going on to be Meir? Is it going on to be Yosef? We'll wait for the Gemara. The Gemara begins. Good. Same case as the Mishnah. A guy is a third party. Father gives a third party now to give money to the Hatan. Likah mehen sadeh libito. Okay, it's really the same case, really. He's giving it to Shalish. The Shalish has to give it to the Hatan with strict instructions that he should buy a field for his daughter. The omeret, and she comes along and says, Yinaten lebali. So listen, just give the money to my husband, let him hold on to it, and I trust him that I'll buy the field. Now, that's not what the father said. The father said, you should buy it, so to speak, for the Hatan, but you buy it and give the field to my daughter. She's saying, give it straight to the Hatan, which is exactly the case really of the Mishnah. So it says like this, Min hanisuin, if already they're married, hareshut biyada. She has rights. When she's married, she could tell the shalish, give it to my husband, I'm already married, it's my rights. So she says, She'af ha'av lo ala bedato lemosram b'yad shish'ela ad shetenaseh. T'b'shenaseh t'abazakai lechol perot. And listen, once they get married already, even on her fields, the husband eats perot. Right? So once already they're married already, the husband does have certain rights. So therefore she can say, listen, give him the money, he'll buy the field and fine. Min ha'erusin, but if it's only from the engagement, erusin, ya'aseh shalish mashu shlash biyado. Then already, you have to follow the strict instructions. Whatever he was committed to do, buy the field, do not give it over to the husband, right? Divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, good. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. Now remember, we have Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah, by the way. Right? Rabbi Meir said in the Mishnah, the shalish has to do what he has to do. But now you're seeing in the Braita, he's making a chiluk. The shalish only has to do what he has to do in the erusin. But not in the Nisuin. Good. Rabbi Yosef Omer, who's also in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef says, Gedola, if she's already Gedola, meaning 12 and up, Ben Men Nisuin, Ben Men Erusin, Hareshut Biyada. Hey, listen, once she's of age, I don't care if it's Nisuin, Erusin, she can do whatever she wants. It's hers. She can tell the Shalish, give it to the husband. Ketana. But if she's still a minor, ben min nisuin, ben erusin, ya'aseh shalish ma shushash biyado. Good, so Rabbi Yosef is very clear in the Braita. He gives you all sides. He tells you, gedola, ben min nisuin, ben min erusin, it's hers. She can do whatever she wants. Ketana, ben min erusin, ben min nisuin, the shalish gotta do what he's gotta do. Good. But in the Bimeir, we still have vagueness. Because all the Bimeir discussed was Irusin and Nisuin. He did not discuss to us Gedola or Ketana. He left that out. So we're still not sure what Rabbi Meir holds Ligabe Ketana or the age. He just told us Nisuin and not Nisuin, right? Nisuin, Irusin. So the Gemara says, "My Benayu." Well, what is the practical nafka mina between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosef? So the Gemara says, "Well, Irima Ketana mina Nisuin ika Benayu." That's one way of learning, which means when the Bimeir said Nisuin, that she could do whatever she wants, which means then she could say give it over to the husband, He didn't make a Hiluk. So it could be even a Ketana. And that's what the Biyos is arguing. Because the Biyos said, no, a Ketana mina nisu'in, you have to follow the Shalish. So maybe that's the Nafkamina. Ketana mina nisu'in. And the Gemara speaks it out clearly. Why? Did a Bimir somebody had a shoot biyada? The Bimir gives the shoot to her, because bottom line, she's married. The Atar Biyosei lememar. And the Biyosei is coming along to say, Afilo mina nisu'in name gedola in ketana lo. Good, so maybe that's the Nafkamina. Yeah? Ketana mina nisu'in. So what the Gemara is going to do now is say, impossible. It's going to bring a proof from our Mishnah that clearly we're going to see the Bimir holds that even a Ketana, once she's a Ketana, as long as she is a Ketana, I should say, the Shalish has to follow the rules, even if she is a Nisua. So if everybody's going to agree in that case, Ketana, she has no rights yet. The Shalish has to execute. How do you see that from our Mishnah? Ema Sefa, from the last line of our Mishnah. What did the last line of our Mishnah say? About b'ketana in ma'aseh ketana klum. Right? The last line of our Mishnah said, but a ketana, her actions are nothing. Which means her sale is not a sale, her transaction is not a transaction. So comes the Gemara and says, ha man ketanila. Who wrote that last statement of that Mishnah? Who's it going like? Ili ma rabbi yoseh. Maybe it's going like the rabbi yoseh. We already know the Rabbi Yosef shita from what he said in the Mishnah. Why? What did the Rabbi Yosef say in the Mishnah? The Amar Rabbi Yosef, v'chi ena ela sadeh v'hirotza lemukhra, harei mechura me'akshav, gedola de bat zibini'in, ketana de la bat zibini'in. No, she's the Rabbi Yosef said explicitly in the Mishnah, that what? That as long as she's a gedola and she could sell the field herself, so gedola has rights to tell the shalish, give it to the husband. Now, who's able to sell fields? A gedola. Obviously, a ketana has no rights. So we know already the Rabbi Yosef really implicitly said the law applies only to a gedola that she has the rights, but a ketana, no. So why does the Mishnah the Sif have to say, because a ketana doesn't have rights? Well, we know that already, Rabbi Yosef. You said that. Ela must be Rabbi Meiri. Must be the Sefa is coming to talk in the Shita of Rabbi Meir. And the Mishnah reads like this. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, the Shalish got to follow what he was told to do. Ah, that's what he told about when they're engaged. Oh, when that we said what that nisuin is her call, the gedola, ketana and maaseh ketana klum. Good. So therefore, we established that what everybody holds ketana is the shalish's call. Even mina nisuin doesn't matter. You're ketana still. Shalish gets to make the call, which means the girl cannot come along and say, give the money to my husband. Yeah. You're ketana. Just like your transaction is not a transaction, you have no right to say, give the money, you got to fulfill what the father said. So we're back to the question. Where do we have the machloket? What case is the machloket between the Bimeir and the Biyosef? Very good. Ela, gedola min erusin. The machloket, the Gemara says the machloket is to be a gedola min erusin, ika benayu. Which means, according to Rabbi Yosef, right, the Biyosef's chiluk was what? He came along and said that she's got to be a gedola, that's for sure. Once she's a gedola, ben min nisuin, ben min, that's the main thing according to the Biyosef. She got to be a gedola. So therefore, once she's a gedola, even though she's engaged, it's fine. She could say, give the money to the husband. Whereas according to the Bimeir, he's going to say, no, that's got to be, what was his language? Davka min nisuin. But it will seem even if she's going to be a gedola, she does not have the right. So we found the nafkamina basically between the Tanaim. So again, let's crystallize. Mahlok of the Bimeir, the Biyosef is in one case. Gedola min nisuin. Itmar, new case. Oh, the halakha. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel halakha ke Rabbi Yosef. Okay. Rabba Amar Rav Nachman halakha ke Rabbi Meir. Okay, so the machlok amongst the Ahuraim, who the halakha follows in this case. Gemara continues. Ilfa. Now, before we get to this story, we have to remind ourselves of a famous episode that we learned in Masechet Ta'anit. Ilfa was a game of a rabbi, name of a rabbi. Ilfa and Rabbi Hanan were sitting one time, and they were together. And they were deciding to go to work, to go make panasa. Rabbi Yohanan had a malach came to him and told him it's his time to become great. So he decided to go back to the yeshiva.
Right.
Ilfa didn't hear. He went to work. When he came back, he saw Rabbi Yohanan became the Rosh Yeshiva. So he felt bad. So they told him, if you would stay, you would become the Rosh Yeshiva. So he wanted to show them that he still knows the Torah very good. So he climbed up on top of a boat, on the mast of the boat, on a high place over there, and he said, ask me any question on any subject, and I'll prove it to you from a braita. I'll give you the source to it. He wants to show that he knows what he's talking about. So this over here is another one of those questions that he asked the people, but he was challenging them to show them that he knows that he didn't forget his Torah. So the Gemara says, in fact, talan nafshe, he hung himself the iskiriyah de machuta. Unlike, I guess, they call it the mast?
Mast of a sailboat.
Good, the mast of a sailboat. Tall pole over there, right? Aman. Ikad de ate. Let somebody come. The Amar li milta de Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Hoshaya. Quote for me a statement, either from Rabbi Chiya or Rabbi Hoshaya. Velo pashtina le mematniti. If I'm not able to bring a source from a Mishnah or a Braita, nafila miskera v'tabana. I'll jump off the mast. I'll drown myself. Which means he was trying to say, you know, I still have the Torah. Ata usaba, old man came, old rabbi. Tanale. So he quoted him the following statement. Subject is like this. Ha'omer. Kai says like this. Tenu shekel libni b'shabbat. Guy's on his deathbed. So he says like this. Give my boys, my inheritors, allowance, 1 shekel a week. B'shabbat of it means a week. Shavua. V'de'uyim natet lehem selah. But really they need more to live on. Meaning those shekels not enough for them to live on. Then he really needed a selah to live on. But the father only said on his deathbed, give them a shekel a week. Notnim lahem selah. You give them a selah. Ve'im amar al titnu lahem ela shekel. But if he was more explicitly, he said, don't give them only a shekel. En notnim lahem ela shekel. Now, what's the difference? So let's read Rashi. Notnim lahem selah. Third line in Rashi. Right?
Yeah.
Well, actually, let's start from before. Amar kol man de'ate. Can you higher up? Kolomar afapi shalachti b'schorah. Even though I went to work, lo shekachti talmudi. I didn't forget my learning. V'yesh b'yadid etaken kol ha'brayto chesidru b'chaya v'rebo shaya. I'm able to put all the brayto in order to bring sources for all their statements. I can bring you a source where it came from. Right, the fish and ikar, those are the main tosef. The main tosef taught and the bright taught were the bichayaz and moshe. Those are authenticated bright taught. So therefore, he says, I can bring proofs to all of them. Tanele, shane lefana bright azu. They brought him the following brighta. They shalu them sodo semich b'shmeshnas shesederabi. They brought him a brighta from the bichayav of shaya. They said, you trace it back to a mishnah. That's the thing. We know that those are authenticated, but we want you to bring us the source from the Mishnah. Shekel is hatzi selah. That's half a selah. The reuyin, that they really need to live, she'enan is on a b'fahot. They can't live on a shekel. They need a selah. They need double. Notim lahem selah. Why the avai yadash sheyityakeru ha-mezonot v'yisterku le-selah lo ava omer. Listen, you have to suit the father to know. He thought that the living expenses was a shekel, so he's a shekel. But if he would have known that the prices of living went up, he would give him a selah. However, if he said, al titnu, don't give them only a shekel, which means he made a machai. He's telling him, listen, I only want, whatever the case is, I want them only to get a shekel. Good. Continue the Gemara. Gemara says, two lines at the bottom. Im amar imetu. If my children, he says, dies, yirshu achirim tahtehim. He already says my estate should be transferred to somebody else. So he puts somebody else into the yirusha. So now the Mishnah, the din is the Braita. Ben she'amar tenu, ben she'amar al titnu, en notim lahem ela shekel. Why? Because once already he shows that he wants to give the money to somebody else. So therefore, you have no right. He said shekel. So therefore, and you know that he wants this money to be transferred if they die to somebody else, you have to assume that what? He wants to have some leftovers. He wants something to go to these other guys. Therefore, you give them what he said, and you don't offer any more. Rashi. En notim lahem ela shekel, she'en lanu lehafsid et haba'im ahareim.
Right? You can't cause a loss to the next guys in line. Ve'il ve'asa et ha'chirim yorshim ha'chareim v'day daf kashik of kama kadesh tipol yirusha ha'chareim. No, Tana Harim wants something to fall to them. If you're going to give them all the money to these first guys, it's not going to be anything. So they asked him, Amar le ha'mani. So they asked him, who's the author? Where does this come from? So comes the Gemara and says, he says Rabbi Meiri. It's actually a Tana. This is what Ilfa is answering them on the master of the boat. The source is Rabbi Meir. De Amar mitzvah de kayem devrei hamet. We have a rule. It's a mitzvah to listen to the deceased's words. Rashi, top line. Rabbi Meir de matnitini. De Amar yaaseh shalish mashu shlash biyado. It's our Mishnah actually. Because what did our Mishnah say? Do what the Shalish says. Didn't the Mimi say in our Mishnah? Mm-hmm. You got to execute what the father wanted. Mm-hmm. So what do you see over here? Because apparently he's a deceased. He died, and whatever his words are before he dies, you got to make sure. Yeah. So when the girl says, "Listen, give it to my husband. I trust him." No. He said, "Buy you the field and put it in you." You got to listen. So for the same thing over here, you see in this Mishnah. Where do you see it? From his father, doesn't the deceased, right? From the Mimi. That's the source. Look at the bottom of Rashi. Hamani. Which is the case where the father said, "Listen, I only want you to give them a shekel. Even though they need more to live, what's the deen?
Shekel.
Now, I forgot the source of kulu nixedidu ninu. Even though you say, hold it, it's all their money anyway. What do you mean? The yorshim, they get all the money. Lo yavinelu bekutnan, which is when they're still young, when they're ketanim, when they're still young, ela shekel b'shabbat." They give them the shekel ba'motar yazunu min ha'sedakah, which is right. Once they get older, the Yerusha, the whole estate comes to them. But as long as the ketanim, the father says, "I only want them to get a shekel." That's all you give them. But they need more money. Go to the charity. Ve'leka lekshuya ala adamim perek nara lavko kemenesh yashirid banav v'yapil atzmo ala sibur, which means over here. What do you mean over here? I mean, this is a good trick. Every father will do this now. He'll when they're ketanim, let the charity support them for the extra. Yeah. And now what? He's just preserving the estate for them. When they become gedolim, then they get all the extra money. How can you believe like this? Mm. We learned that case before, which means when the father comes along and says, "I don't want you to bury me for my money." So what is he really doing? He's trying to save the kids' money, so they'll bury him from the tzedakah, and now more money's going to go to the kids. Then we say, "Lavko kemine." The guy's trying to make his sons rich. Which means when it comes to the yetomim ketanim, he has rights to decide exactly how much they're going to get, because there the money goes to the administrator, and therefore it's up to him to decide exactly how much he wants the yitomim to get. Mashiachin over there, in the case where he's coming along before he dies, right? He's that's it's his money. We don't trust him to come along on his money to come along and say now, you know, cut expenses so therefore his children become more rich. So they're going to take from the tzedakah instead. Over here, the nechasim over here are not the labdi yatmeni nukiim nefisav toichi. He's able, the father has a right to decide how much the yatumim are going to get money. So that's in his right. So therefore you listen to mitzvah lekayim. תבלי אמת. ברוך הנועה לעולם.
אמן ואמן.